your love. It's why I live, why I live. You picked me up when I was down. Now I smile, used to frown. Wrong or right, you just keep on loving me, loving me. Said you must be, really must be. Said you must be for love.
Are listening to the very best of community radio, presenting the gospel at 88.1. This is KAYT, Gina, Alexandria, Louisiana.
Welcome to the Movement of Christ Worldwide Ministers Broadcast, brought to you by the Greater King David Baptist Church, pastored by Dr. John E. Montgomery II, one church ministering in two locations, 222 Blood Road and 7305 Harry Drive, Baton Rouge, Louisiana. Thank you for your prayers and support of the ministry. Let us now join the broadcast already in progress.
Hope for all I do.
Lord, as we look over our lives and as we see how you have worked marvelous and wonderfully in our lives, we can't help but say thank you. And God, the past reflects your praise because you've been so good. The present reflects your praise because you're still good. And the future shall reflect your praise because you are going to be all of that as well. Because your Bible says you're the same yesterday, today, and forever. And so, God, praise is always comely. Praise is always worthy. And so we thank you, God, for your goodness to us. Now, Lord, we pray that you would meet us right in this text today and help to explain to us and help us to see what it is that you would have us to see, to know, to experience, and help us to grow and to mature. And so, God, we ask that your Spirit will guide us through the text and tailor the truth we're teaching today, that somebody here may not only hear this word but see the revelation and the rhema for them. And God, would be ever so careful to give you all the praise, all the glory, and all the honor. It is in Jesus' name we pray, and all who love the Lord said, amen. Give the Lord a mighty hand of praise. You may be seated. We are continuing our walk of wisdom, and I'm excited about it because God is sharing and revealing truths that are very helpful to us in our walk and in our work and in our fellowship and in our growth and development. And as we trust God and see what God would say to us and give to us to know, it'll bless our hearts. There's just one thought today we're going to focus upon. And I want you to jot this down. Matter of fact, if you were wise by now, you'd have a little pad or something going through this Walk of Wisdom series that we've been dealing with, because these are some life-changing principles. And it's only going to be one today because it's so rich. And I want to spend a little time in it. And the thought is simply this: if you change your focus, you will change your feelings. If you change your focus, you will change your feelings. Now, does that really matter? Well, let me ask you a question. Has there ever been anything in your life, past, present, or even expectedly that your mind is focusing upon, and as a result of that reality, it has caused trauma or disappointment or discontentment or discouragement? And if the answer is no, then we can end this and go on home. Because all of us, at some point in time, regardless of the situation, we'll discover that we fit this mold and this mold fits us unless we're able to learn how to change in our minds and thus in our feelings or our emotions. First thing I want you to say before I even go to the text is that focus is always connected with mind and thoughts. Focus has to do with your mind, your thought, has to do with concentration, has to do with a well-outlined and well-defined plan, focus. That's what you have to do to focus. But feelings have to do with your emotions and your passions. And what you don't understand is that your emotions and your passions are inextricably connected to your thoughts and our thinking process. And so if you, how many of you have just, Paul said this, he said, I think myself happy. Thinking is a focus. Happy or happiness is an emotion. So he says, I think my, how many of us have thought ourselves sad? Well, let me help you understand something. How many of you been, you know, feeling bad and you put on some of them old songs?
That was our song. Oh, Jesus.
You bust out crying because you, you know. Yeah, I mean, I'm trying to help somebody be real with me here. You can think yourself sad. You can think yourself depressed. You can think, because y'all going to let me teach this morning. You can think yourself into a depression you just can't get yourself out of. And so your focus will always determine your feelings. And your focus will change your feelings. And so what you need to know is that those things are inextricably tied together. And the devil doesn't want you to know this kind of simple truth, because if you're feeling bad, you can think yourself happy. Are y'all listening? If you're down, you can think yourself up. If you're out, you can think yourself in. I mean, you've got to realize the power that goes into the ability to transform your situation by the power of the mind. I just want to give you a few scriptures before we get to where we're really trying to go. Romans 12 and 3. Just jot this down and look at it right quick. But this is not where we're going to launch from today. But I just want to show you how all of these things interact together. It's important because, again, the mind is so powerful. But yet, when you look at how powerful it is, you must keep it in context with your emotions, your feelings, and your passions. Verse 1 of 12, Romans, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service, and be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the what? Renewing of your mind. You refocus your thoughts. You change your thought patterns. If you change your thought patterns, you will change your feelings and your emotions and your passions. So he said, don't get caught up on the emotional high and the fads and the things of this world. If you want to go above them, if you want to go around them, if you want to change them, then you don't start with your feelings and you don't start with your emotions and you don't focus on your feelings and you don't focus on your passions. You start dealing with your mind. If you start dealing with your mind, then your mind is going to change how you feel. Are you listening to me? And so if I want to change how I feel, I don't need to try and deal with my heart. Because my heart is simply the reservoir of all that my mind pours into it. And so the Bible says, out of the abundance of what my mind has put in my heart is my mouth going to talk about. Ever heard somebody, no matter where you see them talking about, you can be talking about one thing 5 minutes, the next thing you know, they're going back to that thing. Yeah, how's everything? Well, you know. And they go right on back down to that point. Well, they're not going to change that, because that's a feeling and an emotion, and that's in their hearts because of the abundance of that mess that has gone from their mind to their heart. So if they're going to change this, which is going to change this, they're going to have to change this. Now, for those who may be listening by cassette, let me explain what I said. If they're going to change the heart, which is going to change the mouth, they've got to change the mind. See, because whatever is in my heart in abundance, my mouth is going to say it, but my mouth is not going to say what my mind is saying. It will speak that because it has the power to override and go in manual mode, but whenever it's on automatic, it's automatically going to go to my heart and speak of the issues of my heart, because out of the abundance of my heart, which is far more than what's in my mind, my mouth going to keep talking about it. Which again is paramount to understanding that you can always tell what a person is thinking and what's really in his heart, or what is the most, the weight of what is in heart, because of what they continuously talk about. Yeah. You can always tell if somebody has dealt with hurt, pain, disappointment, or on the other hand of that, has dealt with and processed their successes, their ambitions, their accomplishments, and all the rest of that. If they processed it and it has gone into a proper storage in their conversation. But when it is the weight of everything they say, then that's where their heart is. That's where it reveals, it shares. Okay? So if you're going to change your heart, you're going to have to change your mind or your thinking. Now, I want you to see something. Turn to Philippians, if you will, chapter 2. Because Paul is trying to help the church to understand how they need to change some things and practices and operate in a different vein. And chapter 2, Philippians, verse 1, starts off, "If there be therefore any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any bowels and mercies, fulfill ye my joy, that ye be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind." Now notice here, love is in connection with mind. Notice here now, verse 2 again, "Fulfill ye my joy, that ye be like-minded." That's on one accord, same thoughts, having the same love. Now, love comes after what? After mind, all right? And notice here you go, being of one accord and of one mind. All of this is inextricably tied together. My emotions, my heart, my feelings, all of that's connected with my thought processes. Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of what? Mind, let each esteem other better than themselves. Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. Verse 5, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. And you can keep on reading when you get a chance at home to go on, but that's not where I'm trying to get to either. Keep turning to the fourth chapter, Philippians. And here's where I want to start my feeble thought today. Finally. Every time I get here and read Philippians, I tell you, Paul always reminds me of that Baptist preacher, because if you look at the first word in chapter 3, look what we say. What does the first word in chapter 3 say? You know what that is, you know, paraphrased. I'm closing now. And then he get all the way, says all of that, and then get to chapter 4 and get all the way down to verse 8 again and start saying, yeah, well, I thought I was closing early, but I'm really closing now. He doing a lot of closing, but it gets so good, you can't stop. So look at what he says. Finally, brethren, talking to the believers now. This word brethren always indicates and suggests that he's talking about believers, and he's not referring this action to sinners, because you've got to have God, you've got to have the power of the Holy Ghost. All of these entities must be working to have this transformation. So he says, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue and if there be any praise, think on these things. Now, one of the things that I think is conspicuously obvious about what Paul is introducing to the church at Philippi and to the believers at large is simply this. Notice, if you will, in the text, what Paul is saying to focus on. Now, one of the things that you're going to notice if you look through this text very quickly, you're going to notice that he never tells you to focus on anything that's negative. Let's walk back through the text again. Finally, brother, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue and if there be any praise, think on these things. Now, again, never does he suggest that we let wicked or negative or evil imagination run in our thoughts. Now, when you allow your imagination, and how many know our imagination can just get buck wild? If you ain't too holy to admit that this morning. Your imagination can go. If you just sit down and just let your imagination go, you could literally just, go way out in left field. Okay? You can, if you let your imagination go, you can let somebody look at you now. Sister Barnes looking over here. I'm like, now what's she looking at like that? What's wrong with me? Something ain't right on me. She looking at me like something ain't right on me here. You know? Because again, what you project off on to other folk is most times what you feel in your own heart. Sometimes nobody ain't even thinking about you, just might happen to be looking your direction. You say, see how she looking at me, Daddy? I know y'all holy, y'all don't think like that, but you got some folk that are acting like that because their imaginations take over their mind. And then ultimately, folk ain't never said a word to you and you think they don't like you, can't stand you. Maybe it might be you don't like them. Have I got a witness here? And so your imagination, which is a part of your mind, must be brought under subjection, brought under control, because you again have the ability to think both positive and negative thoughts. It's important to really see this, because when you see this, you're going to realize can't nobody project on you what you don't want projected on you. Somebody can come in, ever had somebody come in the morning, had a negative attitude, had a bad attitude, things just wasn't right with them. It was a good morning for you. Now, they're negative, and they're sad, and they're all the rest of this, and they try to project what's good about it. Well, first of all, I'm alive. And I got news for you. You are, too. You know, you're like, yeah. And you just won't let any of that come on to you because you have the ability to think good thoughts. And even when the devil will try and tell you something bad about the person, you say, you know what, that person really must have just, he didn't get up on the wrong side of the bed. He just fell out on the wrong side of the bed. Must have bumped his head. Ain't feeling good this morning. Don't know what that person is going through. So then you try to think of good thoughts about that situation, about that person, so that you do not let that projection of that negativity and that, you know, bad or evil or whatever thoughts come on to you. Because, listen, you are not responsible for what they project on you. You are responsible for what you allow to be a part of you. So when the devil comes and he projects evil thoughts and things on, do you know I have the power to rebuke those thoughts? I have the power to kick out those evil thoughts. I have the ability to not accept, to return, to sender those things that do not line up with this word. Can't nobody make me think nothing. They can make suggestions. And from the suggestions, I can either lock hold of those suggestions or I can kick those suggestions out. Nope, that pass that on to somebody else. That ain't me. And so that's the power of the mind. If somebody controls your mind, listen at this, then ultimately they are going to control your heart and your feelings. That's why you got to be careful what you let get in your mind. And more importantly, who you let get in your mind. Because if the Lord is in your mind, matter of fact, he says, you keep your mind on him, you're going to keep you in perfect peace. But you let the enemy get in your mind, and you're going to be in a ball of confusion. City Inspector Bill Collector, y'all don't remember that, don't you? Huh? That was the temptation. Don't y'all act all holy on me. I mean, some of you young folk might not remember ball of confusion. That was the temptation. That's what the world is today. Hey. All right, anyway. So, what you allow to come into your thinking is ultimately going to affect your heart, your feelings, your emotions. Listen at this. My attitude will ultimately determine my actions. My beliefs will ultimately determine my behavior. My content, the word or whatever I put in, the substance, is ultimately going to control my character. Yeah. my character is ultimately going to control my consequences. My doctrine is ultimately going to control my discipline. See, and if I ain't got no word in me, I ain't got nothing to make me act right. Ain't got nothing to make me do right. Ain't got nothing to make me convicted of what is real. So when you look at this word, look again at what Paul is saying, and let's walk back through it one more time, and then we're going to bring this to a close. He says, finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, as opposed to what's false. Now, how many times when we focus on things that are false? Now, what is false? Anything that's not true? Y'all going to get this. Anything that's not factual and founded? Now, listen at this. It has to do with truth in a more deepened or more in-depth reality when it talks about true as in the Word of God. Let God's Word be true and all men be what? Because there is nothing more substantial than the truth of God's Word. So if I think against this, or if I come against, or I present any facts that appear to be factual based upon my understanding, and it goes contrary against this word, then it is false, because this word is the litmus test. It is the acid test. It is the foundation upon which all other truth is judged. So whatever truth I have, it must be founded in and through the Word of God. So if I'm going to think on anything that's really true, true is going to have to come out of here. The truth that I accept, because the world can present facts based upon their own formulas. But that must be then again based on whether or not it lines up with this truth, the ultimate truth. So when I think on things, I've got to think on things that come out of this word, true according to the word. Then it says, whatever things are honest, as opposed to dishonest. Now, the honesty that I have to think on must be, again, founded in the Word of God. And if it is not founded in the Word of God, then it is and it does become dishonest according to the Word. So the Bible says, and it makes clear, whatsoever things are just as opposed to unjust. Now, again, all of these things are things you and I experience every day. We experience dishonesty. We experience injustice or injustice. We experience false things every day. But the Word is saying, don't focus on the negative, focus on the positive. Look again at what it goes on. Say, whatsoever things are pure. Do you ever have impure thoughts? Have you done any impure things? And matter of fact, I'm going to need to throw out pure and now help you understand what pureness is. Pureness is anything, again, that lines up with the Word of God in my thoughts, in my walks, in my actions, in my attitude. If it doesn't line up with the Word, it ain't pure. It is not pure. And anything that is pure has got to be able to be sustained. It's got to stay on top. Let me give you a simple, simple, simple test. Now, the closest soap that is pure, how many know what it is? You take the best other leading brand of soap and you put it in the water, what is it going to do? Put you some 99.44%. It ain't 100% because ain't nothing 100% but the Word. Y'all going to get this sooner or later. But you drop some ivory in the water and it might go down because of the force. But the buoyancy, but it's going to come right back to the top. You ain't got to hunt in the tub for the soap. Lord, on Saturday, y'all act so holy, I tell you. I'm just trying to give you a real everyday reality. And see, when whatever is pure, you ain't got to hunt for it. It ain't going to sink to the bottom. It's going to always want to be on top. It's going to always want to be forthright. It's always going to want to be seen because it has nothing to hide when it's pure. When your thoughts are pure, you don't worry about any impurity because you know what's in your heart and in your thoughts. Then it says, whatsoever things are lovely, as opposed to those things that are not. Now, too many times, this is one area here where we don't spend enough time thinking on those things that are lovely. This is the area where the enemy most times defeat us in right here. Because God, in His Word, would like us to think on those things that are lovely. As opposed to unlovable and unlovely. And I guess, I don't care, in all of us, the best of us, there are some bad. And the bad of all of us, there is still some good. And I think it's a matter of what you choose to focus on. That's why two people can be together and see one person can see good, another person can see evil. Now that's in both of us. It's in all of us. Because in the holiest and the purest of us, some of us have got some bad in us. Can I get a piece of witness? Now, it's whether or not you choose to focus on my shortcomings, you choose to focus on my mistakes, you choose to focus on my bad choices, or you choose to see the good that's in me. Over and above those things that I have done or missed or have not been. Because the truth of the matter is, when you look at me, you see yourself. Because you ain't all you supposed to be either. And maybe I may not know your flaws or your shortcomings, and I may not know your weaknesses, but I guarantee you there's somebody, and I ain't talking about him who sits up high, but somebody right down here who knows also that you ain't all you pretending to be. Can I get a half a witness here? All right. Look at here now. Whatsoever things are of good report. Here's another area. The devil beats us and destroys us because we choose to focus on the bad report rather than the good report. The bad report. You can see actors and people who are in the public's eye as it relates to performances and so forth, and they get reviews. They can get 10 good reviews and just one bad review. And they pull their hair out and they sink into depression because one somebody out of 10 said they weren't good. And you let that one bad report upset you, ruin your day, mess up your party because they didn't think you were all of that when 9 others said you were. Now let me help you understand something too. Jesus turned that situation around. He healed 10 men one day. And 10 of them got the healing at the same time. And one of them had sense enough to come back and say thank you. And Jesus said, did not I heal 10 of you? And listen at this. He said, where are the 9? Man said, listen, Jesus, I can't speak for them fellas, but I just turned around. And I just had to come back and speak for myself. Because I can't speak about a negative report when I have a good report to focus on. And the good report is you healed me. I can't speak for them, but I know what you did for me. And Jesus never entertained anything else about those other 9. He made it clear that he received the praise and the thanks that was given by this one man, even though all other 9, including him making 10, deserve to give him the praise and worship him. The bottom line is when you choose to focus on what is good, you can still get the praise and the glory out of that is of a good report, as opposed to that. Now what happens if he would have stayed for, he simply asked about him, because the 9 should have been at his feet blessing him like the 1 was. But when the man didn't give an account for them and simply focused on him and worshiped him, he changed his focus from off the 9 and put it right on that 1. Right on that 1. And you know what I'm thankful about? If in the midst of a whole worshiping congregation, everybody decided they didn't want to worship him and you decided you would. Right in the midst of all of them who decided they were going to quit on him, he will focus right in on you and your worship if it's pure and if it's lovely and if it's that God desires. And so we've got to understand, brothers and sisters, that our ability to think. Let's say, let me give you a basic illustration. Isaiah says, by his stripes we are healed. Yeah. All right? Now here is Isaiah, and on the other side here is Peter. But right in the middle is Christ and the cross. As Isaiah was standing there looking at Christ, Peter was on this other side looking at the cross. Yeah.